On this edition, we're celebrating social change artist Tina Malia and the spirit of her music. I'm Richard Brendan, and this is Journey's Fire.
Richard Brendan engages today's best visionary leaders and social change artists in one-on-one interviews and roundtable discussions. You will be inspired, enlightened, and challenged as together we discover new ways of thinking and living. Now here's counselor, teacher, and humanitarian, Richard Brendan.
Tina Malia's stunning voice and enchanting presence is creating a stir from coast to coast and across the world.
This is the sound of one heart starting to hear. This is the sound of faith stepping out of fear. Oh, the journey of one soul's passage through time. And oh, this is one lone dreamer learning to fly.
Her original music touches the listener with elevating lyrics and deep, earthy rhythms. Trained as a classical pianist and vocalist, and inspired by her roots in American folk and soul music, she's also been widely influenced by music from around the world. Her music marries the timelessness of all these styles with a new flair all her own. She's been compared to such legendary female artists as Joni Mitchell, Sarah McLachlan, and Lorena McKennitt. Her own diverse and growing catalog of albums is complemented by studio and live work with iconic artists such as Carlos Santana, Bonnie Raitt, Jayutol, Kenny Loggins, India Ari, Idan Rishal, and Bass Nectar. There are two unifying factors in all of this. One is Tina's remarkable voice. An instrument of exceptional purity, it can be as tender as an angel's sigh or as powerful as a deep ocean current. The other unifying factor in Tina's musical universe is her vision, an all-encompassing artistic perspective that embraces many of the world's musical cultures, languages, and spiritual traditions. It's a joy to have Tina on today's program. She'll be talking about her brand new album coming out, and she joins us from Los Angeles, California. Tina Malia, welcome to Journey's Fire.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Richard.
You are a very accomplished artist. I'm wondering, with all the talent that you have, where did your love for music come from?
My love for music started in the womb. My mother was a concert pianist and a classical opera singer, and she came here from South Korea. She was in her early 20s after the Korean War, and she was just a phenomenal musician. She's since passed away, but she my earliest memories are of listening to her practice the piano 7 hours a day. She used to put me in my car seat and place me under the piano, and that was how she babysat me. And so I grew up literally listening to all these amazing sounds, and that's where my love of music started and continued.
Well, what a blessing that was to have a mother that talented.
Yes.
You've lived in Colorado. You've been in California for quite some time, Northern Coast and now Southern California. Where did you grow up?
I grew up outside of Denver, Colorado, and then in Boulder.
Oh, okay. Beautiful country, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You just had a tour not that long ago with Guru Ganesha in 2011-2012. How did that go?
That was great. We had an amazing time. We went up and down the West Coast, and we had a five-piece band, and we played some of his music and some of mine, and a lot of it was, you know, it was music from all over the world. We tried to bring in devotional music from a bunch of different cultures and in different languages, and we had a fabulous time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The common thread that I hear through much of your music that I've listened to, it's mystical, it's passionate, even earthy and sensuous. Is that with intention, or is that just a reflection of who you are, or is that the vibe you are intentionally creating?
That's a good question. I think the answer is a little of both. I started writing songs when I was, you know, I was like 15. And even then, being a teenager and kind of being in those potentially dark, depressing years, somehow everything that came out of me still had this lightness to it and this intention of, just like you said, the earth and love. And I feel like there's so much heaviness going on that music is a way for me to always bring it back to that that place of love and healing. And I tend to just stay there in my music. It's not necessarily intentional, but it's just what happens.
a term that we've coined is social change artist, and you clearly are that. Your life really is dedicated to the earth. Everything that I've read and the YouTube things that I've seen, which I really admire. You also use your music for lots of causes. What are some of the causes that have been on your heart here lately? Or benefits that you've...
There's a lot of them, of course, and they really all come back to the same thing. And that's just, you know, how can I say it? I have a strong love for the earth, of course, and namely indigenous people. That really strikes a chord with me, because I feel like so much of our survival on the planet is paramount to staying in touch with our roots and our culture of how to live in conjunction with the earth and really live in harmony with it. And I feel like the indigenous cultures had that down, you know, and we've come in here and sort of ripped everything apart trying to make it better for ourselves. And I'm not really certain that we have. So I really love to come back to that, just really simple ways of living with the earth. So of course, indigenous cultures are a big thing for me. And also, you know, really not cutting down redwood trees. You know, there's so many different places you could go, health and healing and how we eat and how we feed ourselves and feed our bodies, and which to me, again, all comes back to this, just really having a sense of a natural way of living and not as some fad, not as some green fad, but just as what really works. I mean, we're animals, you know,
yes.
In the end of the day, we're from this earth. We're born here. We're going to go back here and to try to go so far with, you know, chemicals and industrialization, just so far from our natural state, I feel like is really what is hurting us. So that's what's nearest and dearest to my heart. And of course, there's many branches of that.
It must be flattering and humbling to, over the years, be compared to such great artists such as Sarah McLachlan, Lorena McKennitt. I think you channeled them on that album, Shores of Avalon.
Well, the funny thing is, with Lorena McKennitt, I hadn't actually, and this maybe people wouldn't believe if you listen to this album, but I heard of Lorena McKennitt for so many years, and people had listened to me, and they said, you've got to hear Lorena McKennitt. And it was this strange thing, because I knew, I could sense it, that I had such a similarity with her that I actually didn't listen to her albums until after I finished recording Shores of Avalon, because I didn't want to be swayed too much. I mean, I think I'd heard a little bit, but of course, have a great affinity with her and Sarah McLachlan. They were two of my major heroines growing up.
Well, we're just going to be teasing our listeners, because I don't know if we'll have time to play any tracks from there, but it is amazing. See, it's very romantic, too, by the way. And I'm wondering, the process, and this will set us up into the first song I want to play. What is your, do you have an organic process in terms of creating your music?
It really depends. I wish I could say that. I wish I had a formula and then I could use it over and over again.
Yeah, me too.
I can't say that I do. It's, you know, I've told this story before, but like, for instance, the song Silent Awakening, I was literally eating a salad at Whole Foods. I was just sitting there minding my own business, and out of nowhere, I just got this melody and these lyrics, and I just packed up what I was doing and went home and wrote the song, and it just came out, you know? And sometimes that happens. Sometimes I'll hear a melody in a dream and I'll wake up and create to it. But usually what happens is the emotion comes first. I have an emotion. And from there, I'll start to hear something. And whether it's the line of a chorus or just some different chords or just a rhythm. And then I just go and I basically... it's like a treasure hunt for me. Mm-hmm. I just start kind of looking for it and, you know, kind of dusting everything away to see what's there. And that's how I create. I know that's kind of an ambiguous way to put it. But
Yeah. I'd like for you to set up the first song we're going to be playing. And it's from the album, The Silent Awakening, which was very well received around the world. So many great songs on that album. The one we're going to be playing is called All Roads. And the first paragraph goes, "This is a sound of one heart starting to hear. This is a sound of faith stepping out of fear. The journey of one soul's passage through time. And this is one lone dreamer learning to fly." And I thought, my God, those words need to be heard over and over, and especially now, given what the state of the world we're living in.
Definitely. Yeah, that song, that of course is one of my favorite songs also, and that I've written. And I started that just playing. I just bought my 12-string guitar, actually, and I was at my friend Jim Shai's house, as I recall. He was downstairs working on organs, and I was upstairs playing the guitar, and I just played these chords over and over again, and that was just what came out.
It's a joy to have Tina Malee on today's program, and right now we're going to be playing that song. All Roads is from the album The Silent Awakening. You're listening to Journey's Fire.
This is the sound of one heart starting to hear. This is the sound of faith stepping out of fear. Oh, the journey of one soul's passage through time. And oh, this is one lone dreamer learning to in everything.
beautiful song, and it's a joy to have the artist with us today, singer, songwriter, musician Tina Malia. We're also going to be talking about her new album, which will be released this summer, and we're going to be playing some songs that have never been heard before. So we're really, really excited about that. Getting back to this album, The Silent Awakening, I noticed on the inside jacket that has the lyrics, there was just a little line that really spoke to my heart, and it said, "To those who serve beauty." And when I saw that, I had just read a quote from Blaise Pascal, who, and he said, "In difficult times, you should always carry something beautiful in your mind." And it just reminds me that, again, given the state of the world, how important is it for all of us to carry that beauty, to have that childlike sense of awe and wonder every day, and to look through those eyes of love?
Definitely. Definitely. Well, you know, the reason I wrote that, and I would say this is, goes true for all of my albums and just my philosophy in life, is I've as you know, I've done one of my last albums, Jaya Bhagavan, is all in Sanskrit, and it's a devotional album. And for me, there's what you might consider a devotional element to all of my music, and people ask me about that all the time. Well, you know, what is your spirituality, and what do you adhere to, and what I like, how I feel about it is that, you know, there's so, I mean, that's what the song All Roads is about. It's like, however you get there, you know, however you get there. And I've studied all kinds of religions, from, you know, Buddhism to Christianity and Judaism and Native American, Celtic, wherever you want to go, they all have a similar message. And I think that we as humans get so caught on the differences, you know, instead of the similarities, and there's all these religious wars happening, and it's craziness. So I'd like to say, okay, well, if you don't believe in God, that's fine, you know, at least you can always believe in beauty. You know, it's just another way for me to put it. It's like, at least always look to beauty, because that is one of the things that can carry us through, and whatever that is. Whatever that is for you.
Have you been able to do that fairly well growing up, perhaps giving credit to your family and peers? Some people seem to have a hard time with that.
Well, I would say there's two things that have really helped me. Of course, music is number one. I mean, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have music. It's really the place that I can just let go always, you know, regardless of what's happening. And number two has been mantra. I worked with Jai Utal, and still do, for many years, and I met him when I was 19 and started singing in his band, the Pagan Love Orchestra. And we were also housemates for a while, me and he and his wife. And I was going through a really, really hard time. I was in a really dark place in my life, and my mother had passed away, and even though I had music and writing and I was playing with him, and for all intents and purposes, my life was grand. I, you know, of course, as humans, we all go through our different times, and I was having a really hard time. And he came down to me one time and he said, "Have you ever tried chanting mantra?" And I had sung with him, so I had sung mantra and I knew about it, but I had never actually just used it as an internal practice for myself. And so starting from that moment, I started chanting a mantra, chanting a name of the divine, and it was nothing short of a miracle what happened to me. I felt like it just completely lifted me. And this was over the course of months, by the way. This was, I kind of felt like I tried everything. I had read all these spiritual books, and, you know, I ate well, I exercised. I was still really depressed and just kind of existentially depressed, you know, and it really was mantra that brought me out of it. I started just chanting it all day, every day. And even sometimes I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I would chant it. And I didn't really feel anything at first. Mm-hmm. It took a few weeks of hours a day, just no matter what I was doing, brushing my teeth, you know, driving my car. And little by little, it was just the most amazing process that happened. And I wish I could describe it, but it just felt like this little seed, just one day, this little speck of sand occurred, you know, of light appeared in my heart. And then every day that I chanted it, it just grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And I can't say that I chant it as much as I did back then, mm-hmm. but during that period of time, I would say over that year, that 6 months to a year that I chanted it, it was like that little bubble of light just grew every day until it totally encompassed me. And I've never experienced that kind of, I've never gone to that place of depression and darkness since then. Yeah. It lifted me out and kind of kept me out. So that is really more than anything, I would say, mm-hmm. what has helped me. And it's so funny sometimes because I feel like, you know, it's hard to see so much pain and so much depression and know that so many people are on medication and that, you know, some of them may be helped by that, some of them might not be. And here I am, I feel like I had just this one word. I just repeated this one word. It was free. You know, there's no physical side effects. And it was absolutely mind-blowing how it helped me. And I, you know, that is definitely another thing that's very dear to my heart that I wish I could express to people, you know? Yeah.
The Lost Frontier, it's a new album that's coming out this summer. When do you know it's time? When do you know it's time to birth a new album? How does that work for you? Do you go through agonizing births?
Oh, it is a birth. Trust me. It is not only is it a birth, but my manager and I, we actually talk about it as such. I think even a couple weeks ago, I was saying, this project is crowning.
Interesting.
You know, we really talk about it in that terms, and it really feels that way to me. It really does. It has a gestation. I mean, I've never given birth, so excuse me, ladies who have. You have my greatest respect.
Yes.
But on this level, this is what I imagined it would feel like. You know, you really have the gestation period, and then one day it's just like, okay, it's happening. It's starting to happen, and. Mm-hmm. When do you know? I mean, it's the day it gets sent to mastering. The day it's done. That still hasn't happened for me. I'm still finishing it. Actually, that's supposed to happen today. I'm trying to send it out today.
Okay.
That we're talking. But it's just a process. It just happens, you know, and you never know which songs are going to make it. Sometimes I will chop a song in half and the day before it's meant to be sent out, and it just really depends. It's just this very, very organic process, and I've been, anyone who has worked with me in the studio has likened me to a mad scientist, because it seems from the outside that there's absolutely no rhyme or rhythm to what I'm doing, but I listen to these songs thousands of times. I mean, I listen to them over and over and over again. I know every note, every nuance, mm-hmm. every emotion, every volume level. And they're really my children. They really are my, you know, they're my paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's ready to be birthed when I'm just getting to the point where this needs to stop. I need to put it out. and more importantly, when I listen to it and I just say, I'm not going to be making anything better by continuing to work on this. I'm just going to make it worse.
That's great. Well, we're going to go right now to the title track, because it's one that's already been released. As a matter of fact, there's a beautiful video that goes along with it. People can find it on YouTube and on your YouTube. We'll get that information towards the end of the program, but this is The Lost Frontier. So for our listeners, enjoy.
Take it for ourselves.
I love those lines, will we hand it to our daughters, will we take it for ourselves? When the stories are told, we are part of the ones they'll tell. And I love the technology of adding video to a lot of these songs too now. So when people, our listeners, get on and listen and watch the video as well, it's very, very powerful. Very well done. The song that I want to go to next is called Spark. And I know every song has a story, a backstory to it. And what is it for you concerning that particular song? Which now we're getting into songs that haven't been heard before. These are going to be songs that are going to be on the new album, Lost Frontier. And by the way, do you have a sense exactly when this is going to be released?
I am really hoping it'll be released in July okay. of this year. That's when I'm planning on releasing it.
Okay. Okay. And for people who want to get connected with you and find out when it's going to be released, find out where you might be, what city you might be performing, what's the best site they can go to get that information?
Sure. Well, probably the easiest is just to go to tinamalia.com. And then on there, you'll see, you can go to my Facebook page, you can go to my YouTube channel. And those two places pretty much have all of my information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me ask you, when you're in the studio, I would imagine, do you enjoy the creativity of that, working with the engineers and producers and putting that sound together? Because I know you're a real stickler to detail. You want to make sure it's perfect before it goes out, as well you should.
I do. This last album and most of my previous album, Silent Awakening, I actually studied sound engineering when I was a teenager. So I have a full studio in my house, and
okay.
I engineered most of this last album that I'm just about to put out. So, and I do all of the editing and everything myself. So I get to really hear everything, and I know where everything's going, and I get to arrange it all. And the work I've gotten to do as the producers on this album, I've worked with some really great producers, mainly in the electronic music arena, such as Random Rab and Evan Blutek and Lynx. And they're just, they themselves are phenomenal musicians and producers. So that's been really fun to collaborate musically with them and just, you know, give them a piece of music and, or give them an idea and kind of see where they take it, or vice versa. They give me a piece of music and see what I write over it and create over it. So it's been a really fun process.
So it sounds like you really walk well in this balance of right brain, left brain. I mean, you do the creative, but you can do the engineering too. Well done, girl.
Thank you. Well, my dad was an electrical engineer, so I always felt like I got the best of both
You
worlds.
Got the musician and the engineer. It's perfect. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you mentioned about people always ask about your spirituality. What is your buzz statement that you give to people? Like, how would you describe it in just a sentence or so? Because you're very broad-based, as I am, as probably many people are these days.
Well, you know, it would probably go somewhere back to what you said before about on my album. I said how I dedicated the album to those who create beauty. And and again, I never like to pigeonhole not only myself but other people, because I don't want them to hear my music and her to be, you know, for them to think that I'm trying to exclude anyone or trying to, you know, adhere to only one thing, because that's truly not. Yeah. What I believe, if anything, it's all roads, you know, that would be it, all roads.
Okay, right, absolutely, absolutely. My guest is Tina Malia, and now we're beginning to play some songs off her brand new album, which will be coming out sometime this summer, possibly July, called The Last Frontier. This song is a track called Spark. So we'll be right back, more with Tina, and enjoy this music.
The engine is humming, the whistle has blown. Over miles of intention, faith and redemption, we carried them all. And I will be on that train.
Welcome back to the show. This is Journey's Fire. I'm Richard Brendan. It's a joy to have singer-songwriter Tina Malia on today's program. Tina, how many songs are going to be on this album?
There's 10 tracks.
10 tracks, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful that you released several of them to us, and you entrusted them into our loving care, because I know you don't want music that's not released yet out everywhere, so we're playing it only on this show. And for our listeners, you can go on our website, richardbrendan.org, and for a full week you'll be able to hear it too, but you won't be able to download it, so we made sure you didn't have that capability, but you will be able to enjoy it. A song coming up that I loved, it had a mystic quality to it. It's called Spinners of Yarrow, and I wonder if you could just share a story about that song, how you created that.
Sure. Well, I was asleep in my bed, mm-hmm. and in Sonoma County.
You do your best work when you're sleeping, don't you?
Sometimes I do. You know, I'm a dreamer, I have
to
say. Oh,
yes, absolutely. Yes.
And actually, ironically, the person I'm about to tell the story about is calling on the other line. Of course, I'm not going to answer it, but his name is Al Torrey, and he was my guitar player and my roommate at the time, and we shared a wall. And he was playing this guitar line over and over again, and I was hearing it in my sleep, and it was so beautiful. And I just jumped out of bed. I ran over to his room. I knocked on the door, and I said, "We have to go into the studio and record that right now." You know, it was like 3 a.m. He thought I was totally crazy, but that was okay. We grabbed his guitar. We went and did it anyway. And that's where it started. And then from there, I just kind of took it on this journey. And I had this real vision in my mind of these women walking down to the river and washing their clothes in the river. And and so it kind of had this real lushness to it, like that. Mm-hmm. And then my friend Lynx came over, and we were working on some music together, and I played it for her. And you know, we thought it would be really great to add some drums to this, and we started playing around with it and came up with these marching drums, which when you first hear it might seem like they really contrast each other. You know, here you have all this beautiful percussion and the hong drum and guitar, and it's really lush, and then all of a sudden there's this marching band, and it was kind of, it was perfect for me. And the reason I left it and decided to go that direction is because the overall album has a theme for me of war and peace.
Yes,
you know, and,
yes.
And so much of my album, a lot of my albums have been really focused on just light, just beauty, and just love and healing. And I wanted to do that also, of course, because that's who I am. Mm-hmm. But I also really wanted to delve into some places that I hadn't gone before, and mm-hmm. some darker places, and just really give the darkness its own space within my music.
Yes. Yes.
Because it exists and it needs to be acknowledged. And mm-hmm. also, I would say that's my own personal journey I've been going through over the last few years too, and it's been really beautiful.
To bring
that marching band in, kind of brought in this imagery of, okay, these women, these elder women at the water washing their clothes, and off mm-hmm. in the distance they're hearing their sons go off to war, they're yeah. hearing the sound of marching, and I really loved that. So
yeah.
That's what the song is.
It's very much about war and peace. As a matter of fact, when I said, I think I know what Yarrow is, I looked up and I found this interesting fact that in Homer's Iliad, legendary warrior Achilles used Yarrow to treat the wounds of his fallen comrades. How about that?
Wow, Richard.
I know. Isn't that impressive? Okay. Hey, it's a joy to have Tina Malia on the program. We're going to be playing her song Spinners of Yarrow, which you will find on her brand new album coming out in a few months this summer, entitled The Lost Frontier. Here it is.
Spinners of yarrow, through cracks in the storm. The spinners of yarrow, makers of clay, dance in the courtyard under the shade.
Program. I'm Richard Brendan, and my guest is Tina Malia, singer, songwriter, musician, social change artist. We can throw in a few more titles before we're over. But we're excited that she's coming on the program to also promote her brand new album, which will be coming out in a few months, called The Lost Frontier. There's going to be 10 amazing songs on there. And as I've listened to your albums, well, in order in which they were released, I just continue to see a growth and depth in you. The same amazing, haunting voice. But do you feel that your songwriting and your music is just getting better and better?
Well, one would hope.
Yes.
I feel like it's definitely getting... I'm getting bolder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting, like I was just talking about wanting to reach into some of these dark places. I'm allowing myself to go to places that I hadn't before. And part of the reason is because people know me so well as, mm-hmm. you know, that as someone who sings primarily devotional music and really positive music, and not to dissuade anyone, this album is still very positive, but I feel like I've let myself go into some places that I haven't before as a songwriter and a lyricist. And it was actually really challenging for me in the beginning of writing this album. I remember sometimes, writing some lyrics and thinking to myself, oh my God, am I really going to say that? Like with The Lost Frontier, there's a line, you know, where it said, of the lies told to our fathers and sons and the ones we tell ourselves. And I was like, really? Am I going to say the word lie in my song?
Yeah.
It's so unlike me. But it was what wanted to come through. It was what was needed to be said in that song. And while it is a really personal process, you know, it's a spiritual process for me also to write them. And there is a connection to the divine that I'm having in that moment when I'm writing.
Yes.
And I felt like that was what was supposed to be said. So I let it be said. And so there's definitely been an expansion, I would say.
Mm-hmm. This album coming out is very balanced, I think, because the Pisces hopeless romantic totally loved Serendipity. What was funny is I put it in my car when I received this package from you with all the CDs and such, and it just captivated me. And I said, my God, what's that song? And I opened up the cover and I said, oh, Serendipity, how cool is that? Now, is there a personal story for you behind that, or was this just another beautiful lyric and music coming from a dream?
Well,
you're hesitating.
I have to think back to this sometimes. It's kind of funny because There's always personal stories in all of my music, absolutely. Yeah. But sometimes what happens is serendipity. For instance, mm-hmm. I wrote the verses to it before I went on the tour, on the Guru Ganesha tour. I remember, my very dear friend and one of my co-producers on this album, Jared May, who mm-hmm. also plays bass mm-hmm. on the whole album. I had been kind of playing around in the studio, and I really liked the chords, and I liked some of the melody line, but I hadn't written a chorus yet. And this song, he had heard me play it in the studio, and then I kind of stashed it in my B pile, and it probably would have never been heard from again, ever. And then we went on tour, and he kept bugging me. He's like, you have to finish Serendipity. That's a great song. You have to finish it. And I was like, I don't know. It's, you know. and then I just heard it. And then I just started really hearing this chorus. And I came home and I finished the song. And, of course, it ended up being my favorite song on the album. Mm-hmm. So I have my friend to thank for really pushing me. But as far as a personal song or a personal story to it, there's definitely a personal story. I mean, there's all kinds of them. And because it goes over months, sometimes that I write these songs.
Yes, yes.
I mean, sometimes an entire chorus is about, entire verse is about one person.
Mm-hmm.
And they will never know because I'm pretty private, and it's true. I never tell my stories mm-hmm. about who they're about and what they're about. Because I also like people to put their own stories to the music. I really like that. But I will say for a lot of this song, I had one of my best friends, Serena, mm-hmm. and I had her picture, a picture of us, her and I at Burning Man, next to my keyboard as I was writing it, because while there's portions of it that are, you know, could be seen as a love song, that song really for me is about what are the odds that we're going to actually run into each other and become mm-hmm. You know, friends, lovers, whatever, husband and wife. What are the odds? You know, you just happen to see somebody and you feel something, and mm-hmm. then before you know it, you've spent years with that person, and it's a really happy song. Like, it just makes me really happy, and she was definitely one of my inspirations, among others.
Wonderful. Well, and the first line goes, what a beautiful surprise, as serendipity often is. Of course, now I'm getting a visual, Tina Malia and Burning Man. Now that's heaven. So, by the way, before we go to the song, I need to ask you, you are an inspiration to so many through the lyrics that you write, the music that you write. I've got to ask, who or what inspires you?
Wow. I mean, I don't even know where to start with that question. There's so much. Of course, I always go back to my mother as such a great inspiration, and you know, both of my parents and so many elders, really. I feel so inspired by elders, by the 13 grandmothers. I don't know if you guys know who they are, but they stand for everything I believe in. They're empowered women from all over the world who have devoted their lives to healing the planet, to saving the indigenous, preserving the indigenous cultures and that they belong to, and they're a huge inspiration for me. And of course, I mean, I sound too cliche right now, but the children, they're so inspiring for me. And when I think about what we're going to do, what we're going to leave here, I mean, I can only think of the children, and so when I write, they're a huge part of mm-hmm. what I think about.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Tina Malia, it's a joy to have you on the program. For more information, people can go to tinamalia.com, and it'll take them off in a variety of directions to get more information. And the new album, The Lost Frontier, is coming out this summer. Blessings to you and the work you're doing in the world.
Thank you.
What a beautiful surprise.
And that's today's program. Our website is richardbrendon.org. Infringeneer Joe Bainline and production assistant Pamela J. I'm Richard Brendon. We're bringing love to life, one broadcast at a time.